we are continuing our series called Old School. And I love it because, you know, I planned it for when school started back again, because there are some things that we need to go back and we need to talk about that we constantly need to look at and just remind ourselves of. And so let's look at our foundation scripture here. It's found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 from the Amplified Bible. We're going to read it, and it says this: since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer. Everybody say much closer. We ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard. And then he goes on to say, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. You know, a lot of times we as Christians, we want something new from the Lord. Lord, please, when I read your Bible, give me something new. You know what? A lot of times God doesn't give us something new because we haven't done what he told us to do yesterday or a week ago. And so what I have found in my walk with Jesus is that if I ever run into a place where you know, people talk about being in a dry place, you know, and in a wilderness, and I believe if you're in a dry place, it's not necessarily the Lord's fault. And I have found that a lot of times when I get in a place where I'm not hearing from God like I normally do or want to, then I go back and I think about it and I remember what was the last thing he told me. And then I ask myself, am I doing what he told me to do? Because a lot of times you'll find that Jesus will tell you something and then he'll wait. And he'll wait for you to obey and to do that. And then he's still waiting right at that moment. Here, we've gone on. We're past that. We're looking for something new, and we're wanting God to do something different in our life. But Jesus is back at that last thing. And so here's the good news. If you find out that that's happened to you, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for not being obedient to you, doing what you asked me to do. And you know what Jesus does? He doesn't go, well, you know, I told you, and it's just your problem now. No, he says, okay, great. Let's pick up right where we left off, and let's keep going. So I love what Paul, I believe, is the writer of Hebrews. He says that we ought to pay closer attention than ever to the truths that you heard. How many of you, maybe you're a little bit older like I am, and by the way, thank you for all the birthday wishes I got last Sunday. For my 54th birthday, or actually I should say I'm celebrating the 34th anniversary of my 20th birthday. You know, I backed it up from last week. Last week it was the 24th anniversary of my 30th birthday, but you know, hey, it's my birthday. I can do whatever I want to. But thank you for all of that. But you know, I remember being in school. Anybody remember being in high school or college and you were taking classes and you asked yourself the question, what in the world am I going to do with this? You know, I wasn't a very good math person, and the highest math I got to was Algebra 2, and I had all these friends that were taking trigonometry and calculus and, you know, X to the Y power and all this kind of stuff, and it was just all Greek to me, and so, you know, I just barely got out of Algebra 2, and I said, you know what, I'm glad I'm done with that because I am never going to use that in my life, never, ever. Well, little did I know that 25 years later, I was going to be in IT work for my career. And guess what you have to use in IT work? Some math. And so I was like, wow, I wish I had paid a little better attention. But, you know, God helps us and helps us speed up and catch up sometimes. And so a lot of times we think we have graduated from stuff that really we haven't graduated from yet. And we have to go back and we have to visit those things. And one of the things I want to talk about today, we spent the last 2 weeks talking about faith. And, you know, again, that's a subject you can never exhaust in just 2 weeks. And so, you know, we just hit some highlights of it. But this, what we're going to talk about today, I have never, to my recollection, preached this or taught this in our church. And it's a very, very important subject. And I think we all need to be reminded of this. And I believe, and I'm believing for Spring Hill Church to have a revival of this, and that is, we're going to talk about this subject of honor today. Honor. I believe we need to, not only in our church, but in our nation, have a revival of honor and understand what honor is. Let's look at a scripture in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And by the way, you know, as I got into this and I looked at it, I realized, okay, I'm not going to be able to cover all this in 1 week. So we're going to take this week and next week to talk about honor. So this verse right here will be what we'll carry over to next week. Romans 12:10 in the New Living says this: love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. He said, take delight in it. He said, we need to have an attitude in our heart where we enjoy, we take delight in honoring other people. And so Paul said that we need to have this kind of heart attitude, and that we need to love each other with genuine affection. But part of that is learning how to honor each other. So I believe a lot of times we don't honor people because we really don't know what it is. So let's talk about what is honor. Let me give you a couple of definitions of what honor is. The first thing I want to show you is the definition of honor. To honor someone or something means to respect it, to value, to place worth or weight. When something, we honor something, we consider it to be a little more weighty. It's a little more important to us. And when we place value on something, it tends to carry a little more weight. We have that saying in our vocabulary. And so to understand honor, we got to understand a little bit of something about dishonor. So let me give you the definition of dishonor. Dishonor means this: to take something lightly, to take something lightly, to treat something as common or ordinary. And so as we're studying honor and we're looking this, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. This message might be in your face just a little bit. So if it is, don't look around. Just, you know, don't pretend like, oh my gosh, is he talking to me? I can't believe he said that. No, just keep your face straight on. Keep looking straight on. Nobody will ever know that this is kind of confronting you on some things. But let's go over to Mark chapter 6 and look at a story that happened in the ministry of Jesus in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Reading from the NIV, it says this: Jesus left there. He left where he was ministering and went to his hometown of Nazareth, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Now, I want to stop right here and I want to say, this word amazed is not anything positive at all. It's actually a negative amazement. Like they were kind of surprised and a little bit shocked that Jesus was saying these things. And it says, they begin to question. They say, where did this man get these things? And they asked, what's the wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And look at this, and they took offense at him. Now, I want you to imagine this and think about this for just a second. Jesus comes into town. His full intention and his heart's desire is to minister to the people, to meet the needs of the people, to heal sick bodies, to deliver people and set them free. And he had every intention of doing that. His will was to do that. And yet he comes into town and the people began to ask him, who is this guy think that he is? We know him. We grew up down the street from him. We used to run around with him. I knew all his brothers and sisters and his mama and them and all. I knew them all. And who does he think he is coming into town, doing these miracles, and saying these things? And Jesus, in verse 4, said this: a prophet is not without, say the next word with me, honor, except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. Now notice this, in verse 5, he could not would not, could not. In other words, the Son of God, the one who was God made flesh that came to dwell among us, the one who had the miracle working power of God operating in his life, it says that he could do no miracles there except he lay his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now, that's an awesome story because it highlights something that I think maybe some of us, if not all of us, are guilty of in just a little bit. We might have a little bit of this attitude in our heart. So I want you to imagine this and just wrap your brain around this for a second. The anointed Son of God, Peter said this in Acts 10:38. He said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. There's other scriptures that say that, and when Jesus would go someplace to minister, that he would heal every sick body, that he raised the dead, he opened blind eyes, he opened deaf ears. There were people that that their bodies were made whole. I mean, you know the miracles that we read about in the New Testament and the Gospels, but we see here that something limited the power of God from being able to work in these people's lives like God wanted it to. God's hands were tied in this situation. What did it? It was a lack of this thing called honor. And could it be in our lives that maybe we don't ascribe to the Lord the honor that he's due, or maybe we don't ascribe to people that God instructs us to ascribe honor to, and maybe because of that, maybe because of this attitude in our heart, we are limiting what God is able to do in our lives. You know, we're crying out and we're saying, Lord, I need a miracle. I need you to do something in my life. I need you to move mightily and show yourself strong on my behalf. But yet there might be areas of our lives where we're not showing honor like we should, and maybe we're tying the hands of God. You know, I just think about this for a second. What could have happened in Nazareth if they had honored him? I mean, I believe everybody that had something wrong with them physically could have been healed. I believe there were people there that probably had internal conditions that could have been healed. There might have been blind people that could have been healed. There might have been lepers there in Nazareth that could have been healed. But because they did not honor, they tied and limited the hands of God. Let me give you a couple of things that happened in this situation that limited what Jesus was able to do and what causes dishonor to happen. Here's the first one. It's really simple, and it's called familiarity causes dishonor. Familiarity causes dishonor. If you're taking notes, write that down. Familiarity causes dishonor. And I want to, you know, you're smart. You guys are sharp. You people, all of us here at Spring Hill, we are super duper intelligent. Let me ask you, what is a root word of familiarity? Family. Isn't it interesting that sometimes in our own family environments, we don't operate in honor like we should? We don't honor those in our own family. So familiarity, you know, when we get too familiar with people, a lot of times we don't honor them like we should. Here's the second thing that causes dishonor, and we see it in this situation, and it's called offenses. Offenses. Did you know you can't honor somebody that you're offended at? And a lot of times we get offended. Look at this point, Rand, and you know, this is extra. This, I don't think I put this in your notes. I might have, but look at this. You can never honor that which offends you. You can never honor that which offends you. And guess what? We've got a lot of people in culture today that are offended. Offended at nothing. I mean, offended at stuff that really doesn't matter that much, and people are just so sensitive and so touchy, and so we will never honor that which offends us. Now, I want to say this to you. Just because you're supposed to honor somebody does not mean you have to agree 100% with them. Okay, thank you for that one. That's good over here. All right. I saw a couple of heads shaking, but again, if this is, you know, messing with you, just look straight ahead. That's all right. I'm okay if you don't make a whole lot of noise. Just cough every now and then or something to let me know you're still alive. All right, but here's the thing I want you to see. Look at this point, and that is this. Stop letting yourself get offended. Stop letting yourself get offended with those you should be honoring. You have a choice whether you get offended or not. Wow. Praise the Lord. This side seems to be a little more receptive over here, so I'm going to go over here. You and I determine who and what offends us. You make a decision to do that. You know what? We have opportunities every single day to get offended. I have opportunities every time I'm behind the wheel of my car to get offended. Don't act like you do. You know what I'm talking about. You know I come across as very mild-mannered and nice here at church, but I become a whole different person when I get in the car. And, confession is good for the soul. Doesn't do so much good for your reputation, but it's great for the soul. But, you know, I don't know what it is. What is it with people that don't understand what the on-ramp on the interstate on 485 is for? Oh, man, that's a pet peeve of mine. It does not mean you go 40 until you enter the interstate. It means you accelerate till you get to 70, then get on the interstate. But I see people, okay, never mind. I'm just, you can see what I'm talking about. See, I have opportunities to get offended on people that don't understand you need to be doing 70 on Charlotte Motor Speedway. I mean 485, so you don't get run over. And I have opportunities to get offended with people all the time. Like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And then, you know, what is it with people that, you know, just don't pay attention when they're merging in and out of lanes? And I mean, it's just crazy. So, you know, I have to work at not being offended in life just like you do. Because as we're going to see in just a moment, guess what? God wants me to honor those people that are pulling out in front of me. Oh, I didn't get anything on that one. Not from this side, that side, nothing. Y'all back there in the back, say something. I mean, come on. All right, let's move on. All right, so we have a choice. Do we get offended at those that we're supposed to be honoring, or do we not? And we as believers, we as Christians, need to make the decision every day when you get up, I am not going to get offended today. By the way, you know, maybe I'll teach this at some point, but the Greek word for offense is the Greek word that we translate and means trap. And actually, offense is a bait to get you into the trap. John Bevere wrote a great book called The Bait of Satan, and it's based on offense. And that's free. That won't cost you anything. All right, let's move on. All right, so let me show you three things that we're supposed to do where honor is concerned, okay? Here's number one. Honoring begins when we realize how God views people. When we don't look at people like we look at them, but we begin to see them through God's eyes, that's when we can begin to honor people. So that bears to the question, then how does God view people we're supposed to be honoring? Well, let's look at a verse in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. Says this, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What does John 3:16 say? Those of you who have been in church for any period of time know what John 3:16, for God so loved the that he gave, that whosoever should not perish. All right. So we see in both of those scriptures, in 1 John and in John 3:16, Jesus didn't just die for Christians. He died for the whole world. He shed his blood for everyone. He died on the cross and paid the price for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And so salvation belongs to everybody. And so what that means is that God might see people a little different than you and I see them. See, we have a tendency, when we've been in church for a while, that we kind of think this is an exclusive club. And that we begin to look at folks outside of the church maybe as a little different. And you know, and I understand what we mean when we say this, but, you know, when we talk about people that are lost. By the way, let me say this. You know, our mission statement used to be, reach people far from God and bring them to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. I changed it because God opened my eyes to something. Not everybody that might be not walking with God considers themselves to be far from God. There are people who are just real everyday people that don't know they need a relationship with Jesus. And so God wants us to love them and to see them through his eyes and begin to value them the way that God values them. You remember, honor means to ascribe worth or value to somebody, to make them a little more weighty in our lives. And so how does God see them? He loves them enough that he died for all of them. Look at that next point. How does God see them? He loved them enough that he died for all of them. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. In the contemporary English version, it says this, honor Christ and put others first. What does that mean? Well, that means when I choose to honor you, I'm honoring Jesus. Because if Jesus died on the cross for you, if Jesus shed his blood for you, and I begin to see you like Jesus sees you, then when I love you, when I choose not to get offended at you, when I put you first, I'm not only honoring you, but I'm honoring Jesus. Because I'm beginning to see people like Jesus sees people. Number two, the second thing you need to understand about honor is that honor doesn't just benefit the person that you're honoring, but honor can benefit me too. Honoring can benefit me too. I tell you what, just to make sure you're awake, turn around to somebody close by you and say, you know what, I honor you today. Say it to the people on the other side, your second choice, and tell them you honor them too, even though they're the second choice, okay? Now, why did I have you do that? Because whether you realize it or not, you just benefited you as much as you benefited them. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, look at this point, all right? The level of honor you give to something determines what you will receive from it. I'm going to say that again. I got a couple amens. Y'all awake over here? Hello? Okay. The level of honor that you give to something determines what you will receive from it. We just saw that in the ministry of Jesus. They dishonored Jesus. They weren't able to receive from Jesus. So when you and I honor something or someone, the level of honor that you ascribe to them determines what you will be able to receive back from them. And we don't do it for that motivation, but it is a fact that, you know, of course, it all goes back to the scripture that says you'll reap what you sow. You sow honor, you're going to reap honor. Married folks in the room today, let me hear from our married folks in the room today. Okay, that was awfully weak. We're going to have to pray for the marriages in the room. All right, let me try that one more time. If you're married in the room, let me hear from you. Okay. All right. I think all the dogs in the neighborhood just started barking because of that squeal. But anyway, husbands, wives, listen to this. If you're desiring to receive love from your spouse, why don't you sow a little bit of honor? If you're wanting to receive some respect, you've got to give a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T. When you call your spouse's name, put some speck on it, all right? You young folks maybe you older folks don't know what that means. Just ask a younger person who just laughed. They'll tell you later on, okay? See, here's the truth. You can benefit from something or someone that you honor. Now, it's not always going to be a tangible benefit. In other words, it might not be something that you can grasp. But I promise you, you will receive something from it. The more you value them or it, the more you will get from them or it. All right? Let me show you a principle from Ephesians chapter 6. You know, in the whole New Testament, this is the only commandment that's given to children. The only commandment, you know, you would think that there'd be a whole bunch of commandments. Children, you need to act right. Children, don't talk back. Children, this, children, that. But Paul only gives us one commandment, and he says it in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. He says this. Everybody say the first phrase with me. Honor your father and mother. By the way, that doesn't stop when you move out of the house. Just thought I'd add that. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now here's the promise. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You know, and you can do however you want to do in your household. And you know, I know some people say, well, this is a Southern thing. But I was brought up that my mom, now this is no exaggeration, she's sitting in the room this morning. This is no exaggeration. From the time I was a little bitty guy, my brother and I, he's 4 years older than I am, my mother trained us, and by the way, this is going to make me a good husband one day, so I just thought I'd say that. All right, but my mother, when we would be out and shopping, she would purposely walk up to the door and stand there until my brother or myself opened the door for her. Now, and it was modeled for us that you open the car door for a lady. I'm giving some helpful hints here, you know. And I know, you know, the attitude today is, well, I don't, you know, some women have the attitude, I don't need you to do that. Well, I don't care whether you need it or not, I'm going to, you know, and if you want to get me upset, be with me and you know, with a group of people or whatever, and a lady, okay, ladies, I love you, but don't charge ahead and open the door for yourself. Not when there's some gentlemen present. I'm helping some folks. And I was taught, when your mother calls you, it ain't what? I can't remember. It might be amnesia, but I can't remember ever responding that way to my mother. I'm sure I tried it once or twice, but then I learned not to. And like I said, I've permanently erased that from my brain. It's been eradicated from my thinking somehow. But, you know, when I was called, when my name was called, first of all, it was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Come on, somebody. Okay. And then as a child, you don't make the adult come to you. You go to the adult. So if I heard my name, and God forbid I ever hear my middle name, because if I heard my middle name, it was too late. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And when you get all three names, oh, Jesus. And so I learned out of honor and respect that when my name was called, I went to the room from which the sound came from and answered the call and said, yes, ma'am. All right. And I think maybe, you know, we've gotten away from that a little bit. I'm amazed sometimes at, you know, how I hear young people referring to adults and you know, children referring to adults today. And I think maybe we need to have a revival of honor even in our own homes sometimes and maybe revive some. I'm not trying to tell you how to parent, but I am telling you how to maybe align your family a little better with what the Bible says. And so the promise is to kids that if they will honor their parents, that it will go well with you and you'll have a long life. Now, parents, let me say this. It is something that is taught, not caught. Okay? And so, parents, you're going to have to take some time to teach little Bradley how to respond like he needs to respond. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. God said this. Now, I love when God promises something. So God himself says this in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. For those who honor me, I will honor. Now, we could stop right there, close our Bibles, and go home. Because when you get to a place where you're honoring God and God says, if you will honor me, you can count on it. I am going to honor you. What does that mean? Well, when we in worship or we take time to honor the Lord with our lives, with our finances, with our service, with our worship, whatever it might be, when we take time to honor God and we ascribe to him the worth that's due to his name, when we tell him, God, I put a little more weight on you right now because I believe you're worthy of my worship. I want to honor you today, Lord. I'm not focusing on anything else. I'm placing my attention on you and I'm going to honor you today. Here's what God says, because you did that for me, I'm going to place a little more weight on you. I'm going to ascribe to you a little bit more worth, and I'm going to make sure you get my attention. You know, there's also a verse, and you can look it up on your own, but there's also a verse that says that when you worship God and you stand in faith on his word, when you're going through temptations, tests, and trials, God said, I will be with you in the battle and in the fight, and I will bring you out. Get this, I will bring you out with double honor. having God honor you once is great, but having God pour some double honor on you, oh, let me tell you something. Your life will never be the same when God starts multiplying honor on you. Look at Psalm 91, verses 14 and 15. It says this, because he, the worshiper, the one who's dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Now, you can't set your love on somebody without honoring them. You can't effectively love somebody and dishonor them at the same time. So, in essence, what we could say is, because he has made the decision to honor me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Verse 15, he shall call upon me. I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. I love God. He's so good. He says, I will not only bring you out of that difficulty, I'll not only bring you out of that sickness, I'll not only bring you out of that hard time. He said, I will deliver you and I will honor you. God said he'll pour honor on us. Here's the third thing I want you to see, and oh, I want you to get this. Honoring is decided, not deserved. There are people in our world, in our government, in our lives, maybe on your job, that don't necessarily deserve our honor, but the Bible says we have to honor them. The Bible says Christians honor those in authority over us. And so we really don't have a choice in the matter, but somebody says they don't deserve my honor. You know what? It doesn't matter what they deserve. It matters on what your heart attitude is and the decision that you make in your heart. And again, I don't have to agree with you 100% in order for me to honor you. See, that's something we have just forgotten how to do in our culture today, is how to be disagreeable or to disagree with somebody and not be disagreeable. I can get along with anybody, even if I don't agree with what you believe. But we've just got this attitude where if you don't believe like I do, then I don't want anything to do with you. I don't like you. You're different. You're mean. You're despicable. And see, the Bible says that we need to honor people, but we need to make a decision to honor people sometimes. And I'm going to get you with the verse. It's not in your notes, but 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Paul said this, above all, that we should give thanks for those in authority over us. And we should pray for them. Now, we don't mind praying, but the giving thanks thing? Because it's hard to give thanks for somebody you don't agree with. But he didn't say, I would that first of all prayers, supplications, and giving of thanks be made for those that everybody you agree with. He said for kings and for all those in authority. You need to pray for your boss every day, whether you like your boss or not. Hallelujah. I told you it might be in your face. Just look, keep looking straight ahead. Just keep looking straight ahead. Don't look at the person beside you and say, he's talking to you. It just look straight ahead. No, see, a lot of times we're in situations with people because, you know, people can be people and we don't necessarily get along with everybody, or we might not particularly care for everybody. You know, the Bible doesn't say you have to like everybody. It says you have to love them. See, we thought it said you had to like and love them. No, see, I love you, but and there's people that I love, but I don't want to hang out with them. But I have to honor them. I have to respect them. And so, look, just, I can tell this is, honoring is decided, not deserved. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to have some honor tests in life. And you know what I have found in my experience is that a lot of times when I'm praying for promotion, God wants to see if I'll honor somebody else who got the promotion before I did. You know, God wants to see if I'll honor another pastor that's been in it less time than I have, but is doing better than I am, numbers-wise and all of that. And I know that doesn't matter, but I have to make the decision, okay, I'm going to honor them. Whether I know them, whether I respect them, respect them from the sense of I have a relationship with them, but I have to honor them. And I have to appreciate them and speak kindly of them, ascribe weight and value and worth to them, whether I understand how they got where they got and why I'm where I am. And you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to pass some tests like that because God loves us. But let me ask you a question. What would you think of me as a father if I had a little boy that was about 4 years old and I went out and bought a brand new 12-gauge shotgun and gave it to him loaded? And just said, here, go out in the backyard and play. Have a great time. You know what a four-year-old boy is going to do? There's going to be shotgun holes in everything. And you know why? Because they can't handle that much power. They don't understand what to do with that kind of power. And a lot of times it's because they don't respect the power that I can't trust them with that kind of power. And we need to understand that a lot of times we're crying out and asking God for greater in our lives, but he can't trust us with that kind of power because we don't respect and honor that kind of power. And so God has to give us some tests to see how we do with the test. And if we fail the test, now here's the good news with Jesus. If you fail the test, you get to take it as many times as necessary. And by the way, it's an open book test. He's given you the manual. He's told you if you'll read it and you'll study it and you'll apply it to your life, when the test comes back around, you can pass the test. But you need to understand promotion is always on the other side of that decision. Let me wrap this up. Let's look at a verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Peter said this, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Here's what Paul is saying to us, that if we will learn to live this way, we'll silence some of the people who want to criticize the way that we live. And if we'll honor authority, because listen, a lot of times, you know, it says in verse 14, or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. If you're not an evildoer, then hold your head high, but honor them. And for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a close cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. In other words, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm free from all of that. I don't have to be in bondage to honoring you. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Yeah, you're free, but you can't use your freedom to cause somebody else to become offended at you because you don't honor them. Look at verse 17. Honor how many? I didn't hear much out of this side. Honor how many? Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. Honor the king. Now, you need to understand something. At the time that Peter wrote this, there were some pretty wicked kings that were in authority. Now, let me say this to you just as a point of clarification, and then we'll end it. You have to honor those in authority over you until they begin to demand that you disobey the word of God. That's the line. So when authority over you does not infringe on how you believe and doesn't demand that you disobey the word of God, then you have to honor that authority. When that authority begins to require you to recant your faith in Christ, to disobey the word of God, that's where the honor stops. All right? So fortunately, in the country in which we live, nobody's putting pressure on us to deny our faith. Nobody's cutting anybody's head off because they believe in Christ. Nobody's being crucified because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. And so we need to honor those in authority over us. Can I get an amen? Am I helping anybody? All right, so honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I want to challenge you today, and bow your heads with me. I want you to make a decision today. First of all, let me ask you a question. Did the Holy Spirit speak to you in this message at all? Oh, you didn't have to answer me, but thank you for answering me. But I want you to, just with you and Jesus thinking about this, I want you to make a decision today that you and us as a people, the people of God and the people of Spring Hill, that we're going to be a people of honor. That from this day forward, from September the 3rd, 2017, we're going to honor those that God says to honor. Whether it's somebody in our family, whether it's somebody on our job, whether it's somebody in authority over us, it doesn't matter. We're going to make a decision today that we're going to honor them. And we're going to be a people of honor. And we're going to see what God's going to do in our lives, because I believe on the other side of that honor, there's tremendous blessing. There's tremendous favor. We've already seen what God will do for you when you begin to obey Him. And in obeying Him, you're honoring Him. So, Father, right now, I just pray for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Lord, for the decisions that are being made in people's hearts today. I know, Father, that this message has been a little confrontational, in that it makes us evaluate where we are in our own hearts and the attitudes of our own hearts. And Father, I just ask you right now for those of us, myself included, who might have had a wrong heart attitude, I ask you to forgive us. I thank you for cleansing us by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that we are wiped free of all that sin and disobedience, and that, Father, you, like David, create in us the heart that you want us to have. And I don't mean just in the new birth. I'm talking about a heart attitude. Help us, Father, to have the attitude that you want us to have, an attitude of honor. And I thank you for it, and I praise you for it.